This is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 144B, page 605, and we've been looking at seven statements. There are certain fundamental ideas that he wants to get across. They must be borne carefully in mind, and so far we've looked at seven statements. We're dealing with the seven ray energies as they pour forth from one or other of the stars of the Great Bear into our solar system. And the seven rays express themselves through three zodiacal constellations. And we've had an interesting analogy there in terms of the monad soul-body analogy to that life that is expressing through a ray. Aha. Well, this doesn't look right. This should be a three, shouldn't it? Maybe that's the problem. It should be a three and not a four. Ah, okay, and this is a one. Oh, goodness. Let's see what we can do here. That's a possibility, number two. Then we'll have number three, I hope. Yes. Then the third point was these seven beings are the custodians of the will aspect of deity, and they convey into our solar system the energy of will in its plan-making, form-building nature. Notice that the ray that has to do with the creation of form is so much the second ray. But there is a Vulcanian form-building aspect to the first ray. The marshalling of the forces and their manipulation would come under the third ray. So maybe it takes all the rays really to build the form, even though the true form is most connected with the second ray, because the true form is a pattern. And then comes four, that the nature of the will is as yet undefinable, for only the monad responds to it, and after the third degree, we have some little idea of its nature, but we can understand something about effect and result, if not its true nature. Sometimes I don't know how these numbers do change, you know. And here we have the fifth. The constellations in groups of three transmit to our planet via the sun, which is the transformer. And they indicate relationships only in connection with our Earth. The diamond shape is the important shape here. And it's prototypical of the etheric network. It is suggesting the patterns of squares and triangles with which we have to deal. And then the seven ray energies are expressing divine prototypal will in seven forms. So it's pretty clear divine prototypal will is coming from, it's the will of the Great Bear in seven forms. Now we go on. The seven ray energies expressing divine prototypal will in seven forms are as follows. Okay. And this we have been reviewing. The will to initiate, first ray, ray two, the will to unify, ray three, the will to evolve, ray four, the will to harmonize or relate, ray five, the will to act, ray six, the will to cause, and ray seven, the will to express. And this we studied in terms of the seven important paragraphs. Sometimes when we can consider this also as working through the will of the soul, although it's coming from a higher level, and when we look at the Antikarana and the possibility of stimulating the mental unit so it can become a point of projection into the triad, there is a stage at which soul will is absorbed into that mental unit, I suppose, to make possible the act of projection. And I like to think sometimes that these seven aspects of the will, even though they have a much higher origin, can be considered as aspects of soul will as well. So when their full creative work is completed, these kinds of will, There will emerge a something else or other for which we have no name, but which will be the seed of the next solar system. So in a way, the seven types of will lead into a synthetic something, which is the seed of the next solar system. This third solar system will express the divine will as this is slowly developed through the experiment and experience of divine love. Well, we have the will aspect, the Father aspect, and we have the statement of the Christ that no man or one cometh to the Father except through me, at least legitimately so. And even if we're talking about the Antikorana, which apparently can be considered as bypassing the soul aspect, here it is, it is only the soul-infused mental unit, having gathered all the personality's energies into itself, and having gathered a sufficiency of soul presence into itself that can project to the Father. So it's not just the personality without the power of the soul, or the presence of the soul within it, that projects directly to the lower part of the spiritual triad. We do need an infusion here in order to make this projection successful. If the projection is not to be some sort of unlawful and premature contact with the will, with dire results such as Hitler and his group. Of course, even then, we're told that certain aspects, certain energies of the soul, its third aspect, is closely related to the intelligence of the personality and can be used. Maybe even the love aspect can be used because it's a magnetic energy, not the sentimental idea of love, but the sacrificial aspect of the will, of the soul, cannot be used. Sacrificial will cannot be used by those who simply want to grasp the power for themselves and for themselves identified as personalities. None of those men knew anything about the real soul. They were all influenced by extreme separativeness. And as D.K. tells us about evil, it is an impelling sense of difference. So the second aspect, which relates soul to soul, was not theirs. They were all intelligent and powerful personalities, uninfluenced by loving cohesion. Okay, so this third solar system is coming, as I've tried to say at various times. It will probably have a first-rate personality. The solar logos will probably have that first-rate personality, and, you know, who knows what sub-ray of the soul he might be working on at that time, but he is a ongoingly second-ray soul, and because he occupies a place of a heart center in a cosmic logos, however you define the term cosmic logos, it's probably a monad on the soft line, eventually to become, I think, as is fitting for a heart center, a second-ray monad. Of course, you don't really become a monadic ray, you already are. It's just a question of whether it can express or not. And I often speak of two monadic rays, one for the man, which is on the monadic plane, and another which is resulting from the one of the three persons of the Logoic Trinity into which the liberated essence of the monad, I call it the volatile essence, affixes itself, into which it affixes itself, once it is liberated from the monadic vehicle. Okay, so let's see where we are here. Okay, we have number eight. There are 8 points being made here. These seven ray aspects of the will, let's see if that's really so, or whether I've just got my numbering all confused. No, there are 8 points. And are there beyond that? Oh, there's a 9. All right. Well, 9 is an important number. It determines the cosmic paths that we can now tread. We're told no longer just seven, but nine. And to me, that always corresponds to the fact that there are really nine powerful Pleiades and not just seven. Kind of wonder whether you don't wind up, after treading one of these cosmic paths, within the Pleiades somehow, and related to one of the nine major Pleiades. Though time is a problem, because if the scientists are right, these Pleiades are blue-white stars, which don't last very long. So here we are treading a path which will lead to different constellations and eventually to them, and then they will disappear. But then again, there's so little we know, because at that high level of development, certain stars are correspondences to what a master is to the human being. Certain stars are correspondences to other stars as a master is to a human being, and then you can appear and disappear at will. In other words, you kind of wonder what might be stellar Maya Virupas, or will-created bodies. Are they created differently from the way other stars are created? So if you can appear and disappear at will, it's not going to be a problem. Whether you exist or not, you will exist when you want to exist. You will appear when you want to appear. All right, maybe that's taking the analogy too far, but you see, this analogical thinking can transpose human patterns into stellar patterns, and then you wonder, to what extent are they, in fact, accurate? But we won't find that out until we conceive them. A little chilly in this room here. These seven ray aspects of the will, which are the goal of the higher initiations, and which embody that which the masters themselves are struggling to understand. So if they're the goal of higher initiations, you know, let's just say, beyond the fifth, apparently, and which are the goal, which embody that which the masters themselves are struggling to understand, is that which flowers in the monad when souls have reached perfected expression through humanity. This is a brilliant statement. These aspects of the will are really monadic in their nature, and they come to fruition in the monad. The aspects of will, which we are here discussing, come to fruition in the monad. Yeah. Maybe, you know, maybe at the sixth degree, when one is, when one truly recognizes oneself as principally the monad and beyond, they express themselves where humanity is concerned. Now, you know, look at every sentence, because they can express themselves where other beings are concerned. So they can find expression in other beings also. Higher beings in a different way. But where humanity is concerned, that which incites to and produces initiation, driving you towards passage through the door into a new space, that which is the cause of vision, and the power to see. It's a simultaneous grasp, a registration of all, of many related factors simultaneously. It's a synthetic sense. Oops, no. That which is the cause of vision. So, what did he say? Initiation vision, right? Let me go back here and copy something that we have. Here we go. Let's copy this, because this is really what he's talking about. And he's building here around these keynotes, right? Oops. I went too far. Uh-huh. There we are. Okay, I'm going to... That which incites to and produces initiation. So, he's elaborating these results as they appear within the human family. Okay. And this, and let's get rid of that. Okay. So, we have the seven, and the elaboration of the seven immediately below. That which incites to and produces initiation. It must be a great driving force forward toward the new. No. Sometimes one forgets what's on the clipboard. A driving force forward towards the new. That which is the cause of vision. It's the need to apprehend. Need to apprehend. Many related energies simultaneously. Right. And then the third, that which develops sensory perception into knowledge, knowledge into wisdom, and wisdom into omniscience. And this is so interesting because, you know, light is associated with both the third and second ray. Love only with the second ray per se. So, wisdom, often with the second ray, but occasionally with the third. Omniscience, usually with the second ray, and in this case with the third. We have omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. And when we look at omniscience and omnipresence, can we exchange those? The omnipresence is usually connected with the third ray. Our great communications network, which has made us present everywhere on the globe simultaneously, at least in terms of voice and image, if not in terms of touch or taste or smell, that is related to the third ray. It's a network. It's the World Wide Web. When you think of a web, that's precisely the image of the third ray. And so this Mercurian tendency to connect all things and to be somehow present everywhere, because the speed of light makes that possible, this is related to the third ray. Now, you know, another thing, too, let the army of the Lord cease its activity. How does it go? Let knowledge end in wisdom, that the point vibrating become the point quiescent and in all lines gather into one. Let the word, I better go to it. At this early hour it is not registering here. Okay, knowledge into wisdom. No, knowledge. That's because we're in the wrong. We have the destiny of the nations checked. We have let the point vibrating become the point quiescent. Let knowledge end in wisdom. Let the point vibrating become the point quiescent. And all lines gather into one. And here it is. Let the soul realize the one in many. And let the word go forth in perfect understanding. I am the worker in the work, the one that is. Let knowledge end in wisdom. So here we have the, well, I suppose the wisdom aspect can be found on any of the rays, but what we've just been looking at here, obviously wisdom is part of the name of the second ray, love, wisdom. So perhaps we have a different kind of wisdom. Maybe there are seven different kinds of wisdom, as there are seven types of monads, will, wisdom, and activity. But we do have the transmission of knowledge into wisdom, so I'm going to copy this little stanza from page 417 of EP Volume 1. Okay, and this is EP 1. And let's... Right. Okay. So there is this type of will which functions in seven different ways. It's that type of will which flowers in the monad when the souls have reached perfected expression. And that perfection, I want to say the perfected expression of the soul deals with the fourth initiation. Perfection is a fourth ray quality. And we find that on the atmic plane, it is a high siddhi or psychic quality on the fourth level of the atmic plane, and I suppose it is intuition on the fourth level of the buddhic plane, which reveals a type of perfection. So we have different types of will as that. The different types of will are called that, which means different types of energy. So that which incites to and produces initiation, that which is the cause of vision or the power to see, that which develops sensory perception is more external, into knowledge, knowledge into wisdom. This is we're detecting, we're discerning. It's a type of spiritual discernment. We're looking at the outer and we are detecting the pattern behind the outer. We're reading the symbol and wisdom into omniscience. So we should not be too quick to associate omniscience only with the second ray. So, yes, and it makes me think, you know, the whole idea of identification and of being everyone means you are also everywhere present. So I think we can see a way. I think, you know, I want to say this. I think we can see a way in which the second ray is associated with omnipresence. But certainly the third ray is, and I've given the reasons for that. So, as always, there are some exchanges going on between the second and the third ray, and you kind of wonder whether it's because they are in a transitional phase. Like, you know, there's the third aspect of the second ray soul, which is very much in its consciousness, like some aspects of the third ray. Would it be like the second aspect of the third ray soul? There's some interchanges going on here between the second and third ray, which seem to suggest that certain qualities and patterns of action are shared by both. DK says, you know, it's sometimes difficult to get those two to really work together, but there's some kind of overlap going on at the present time, I think, due to the transition of the third ray types into second ray types, third ray monads refocusing on the second subplane of the monadic plane, the appropriation of that which belongs to the second ray within appropriation into the third ray. Let's see what else here. Ray 4, that which is the illumined will, the basis of buddhi or the intuition. Notice it is the basis of vision, the basis of buddhi, the basis of intuition. We're talking about here, we are speaking at the causal level. I don't mean the causal body. And the world, we're speaking of the world of causes. Interestingly enough, the final world of causes, as far as our cosmic physical plane is concerned, is the logoic plane. It's not the the plane of the causal body, which is simply an effect of these other causes. The illumined will, it reminds one so much of Taurus, doesn't it? Through which Ray 4 comes. And is the basis of buddhi or intuition. When something is a basis, it is some sort of energy out of which a faculty arises. So, we are dealing with modes of will energy, which are the basis of the arising of certain faculties. Not the faculty itself, perhaps, but that from which the faculty arose. So that which is the illumined will, you know, and this is the fourth ray in Mercury bringing light. Fourth ray Mercury Taurus bringing light. Well, when we look for basis, we will not realize what basis is until that these types of will flower within the monad. Then we will understand what is the basis of these faculties we always talk about. Ray 5, that which is the cosmic seed of liberation. So right away we know that the will is a cosmic factor. The seed of liberation. This is an aspect of destruction. So again, he tells us that Ray 5 is intimately related to the first ray. And indeed, in terms of soul absorption, we are so often told that the fifth ray souls resolve, when they do resolve, upon the first ray. They don't necessarily all resolve before the fourth initiation, otherwise there wouldn't be seven methods of destroying the causal body at the fourth degree, according to the ray of the soul. But the seed of liberation. And you know, there's a very Uranian idea going on here. Uranus has, you know, being so connected with electricity, the fifth ray types are, Uranus is the planet of electricity, and the first ray is electric fire. So we have associated ideas here of Uranus, fifth ray, and first ray. Associated with Uranus. Uranus, a first ray monad, but seventh ray soul. What is this personality ray? What is this mental ray? 3553. But the association with the fifth ray is very strong. And DK talks about the power to rationalize and thus destroy. It's a kind of glamour, but it gives you a hint as to an energy. So if we were to go over here to glamour world problem, let's see if we can find it. Rationalize oneself. Well, let's see. I thought it was in here. Let's look at page 122. Maybe it's not in this part of the book. No, I think not. But what I will do... Aha, it could be in esoteric psychology, too. Rationalize, destroy. Maybe only in one place. Oh, yeah, there it is. In esoteric psychology, too. And this has a lot to do with monadic rays, interestingly enough. Because this follows upon... These lists follow upon the description of the blessed ones who have to be associated with the monad for various reasons. And I'm going to do those stanzas and show why. But the blessed one remains after the angel departs and passes into the light supernal, into the presence. The blessed one remains. It's in the fifth stanza. Here it is. Thus will the angel who is the shadow of the Blessed One reveal the open door. That angel too must disappear. The Blessed One remains and passes through that door into the light sublime. So the Blessed One is an aspect of the monad. Okay, why am I dealing with that at the moment? So the fifth ray rules the law of cleavages. The symbol of the first ray is the sword, the great cleaving instrument. Even Venus is involved with cleavage, separating that which is desirable from undesirable. It creates a cleavage by magnetizing those things related to it and leaving, according to the law of attraction, some things that are not attracted to it and are therefore, in a sense, repelled. So let's just say that attraction and repulsion is connected with Venus and the fifth ray. At least a cleavage is caused. Is caused by the law of attraction and repulsion. All right. This is interesting and, of course, very deep. Then we come to ray 6, and it says something rather interesting. I mean, maybe we should put the words here with what DK says. We have initiation, vision, education, intuition, liberation. So... initiation, and I'll put them in, okay, so this is vision, and this is education, and under ray 4 we have intuition, which fits here, intuition, and now we have under ray 5, liberation, and under ray 6, causation. But how did he describe it above? Well, idealism. Okay, idealism, and then organization. So we'll do it as he's done it. Even causation is involved, of course, the will to cause. Causation. I'll put it this way, the will and idealism. And here is under number 7, expression. So ray 6, that which is the cause of the thought form building faculty related to the creative urge. This is implying both ray 2 and ray 3. Uh-huh. Interesting. 2 and ray 3. Why ray 2? Because the second ray is the builder, the thought form builder. Why ray 3? The third ray is the ray of creative intelligence. And as I have tried to say before, ray 6 is a combination of rays 2 and ray 3. Some people say ray 2 and ray 1, it is related to ray 1, but it has that magnetic quality of ray 2 and it has the active quality of ray 3. So there's something behind a motive and incentive behind, which is the cause, and there is our will to causation of the thought form building faculty, the relation of the solar plexus to the throat. That which we desire drives us into activity, the relation of the solar plexus center to the throat center, related to the creative urge. So out of the lower chakras and their synthesis, the solar plexus center, comes the possibility of creativity. It's maybe the first of the super diaphragmatic chakras which are activated. So as DK said, ray 1 is related to 2. You can understand why 2 1s are 2, 2 2s are 4, 2 3s are 6. They have a special relationship to each other. And they are both rays of abstraction, the third and the sixth ray. Here you can see that they are being related, that which is the cause. We build thought forms, why? To fulfill our desires at first, and maybe later to fulfill the divine plan and will. But we, you know, let's just say at first, we think in order to fulfill desire. But remember, these are factors, will factors, which flower truly only in the monad, when soul expression has been perfected. So if the masters are striving towards these states and we have not yet perfected the causal body, we have a long way to go before we can really understand. And then ray 7, that which can be called the principle of order. So it is the, it's not so much organization as expression as organization. And we call it the will to express. Will to express. And that which has to appear on the dense physical plane must reflect the archetype. The archetype is an abiding, continuous, ordered relation. It represents the purpose, which as far as any system is concerned, is perfect. It's incomplete in its perfection, but as far as the system goes, it's perfect. And ordering is the bringing into right relation, according to the archetype. So ordering is the bringing into right relationship according to the design of the archetype. Why all this order? Why this quest for order? Is it just to relieve anxiety so one knows where one is? Or is there something more to it? The need to actually complete the will. The seventh ray is the more concrete aspect of the will, and it brings through into manifestation that which the will intends. But notice, we begin to attribute to the will a purposeful nature. Will and purpose do a lot of blending up there. Purpose has pattern, but is non-dynamic and has no way to impose itself without the will. So the will, the real function of the will is the imposition of purpose. And when we sometimes think of will, the idea of purpose is contained within it. There are many ways to look at this, and I respect a number of people who look at it differently than I do. But there's a sense in which the will really does represent the first aspect of the first aspect, and purpose represent the second aspect of the second aspect. But in these days, everything is reversed in our solar system, and the second aspect is preeminent. So just as in the Masonic Lodge, as it has been constituted up till now, the first ray serves the second ray, and the master is the representative of the wisdom of the second ray, and not of the strength of the first ray. Okay, that which can be called the principle of order. I think it's well just to repeat these. Ray 1, that which incites to and produces initiation. We could meditate on any one of these. What is it that is producing the drive towards initiation in your life? That which is the cause of vision, or the power to see. It's a growing sense of synthesis, isn't it? Ray 3, that which develops sensory perception into knowledge, knowledge into wisdom, and wisdom into omniscience. Notice there's not a direct line from knowledge to omniscience. It has to pass through wisdom. And oftentimes we simply think of omniscience as a greater degree of knowledge, as knowing everything. But there is the wisdom factor. What is that everything for? What role does knowledge play? What is it intended to produce? The wisdom factor, the right use of knowledge. Ray 4, that which is the illumined will, the basis of buddhi and intuition. See clearly with the opened eye of inner vision, and you will see not two but one, not war but peace, not isolation but a heart which rests upon the center. So the illumined will. Interesting how Dr. Roberto Saggioli worked with his active will and gave us, rather than just the strong will, gave us the good will and also the skillful will. I suppose there's a type of will then for every ray. Of course, there would have to be. Ray 5, again repeating, that which is the cosmic seed of liberation. This is an aspect of destruction. You kind of wonder how much Sirius plays stands in relation to this. I think the soul ray of Sirius is probably the fifth, just as it is for Venus on the planetary level. You go to Sirius to learn Manus, but there's something deeper in it. It's the factor of love. So the two and the five are very strong there, and are the six. And ray six, that which is the cause of the thought form building faculty related to the creative urge. Why do we create? Perhaps we're beginning to give pattern to something we sense within ourselves. We make those arrangements which, if they come into resonance with the archetype, will be a source of happiness. We create arrangements which, if they come into resonance with the archetype, become a source of satisfaction and joy. When we are in a certain mode or pattern which is resonant with one of the energy configurations in the world of being, namely a purposeful pattern, suddenly there is joy, there is exhilaration. We say, God's in his heaven and all's right with the world. the archetype is in heaven and it's translated itself into the world and all's right with the world because there's a perfect reception or at least a resonance and no dissonance. And when dissonance disappears, joy appears. It's as if, well, some form of happiness is like a release from dissonance. Okay. And then finally, Ray 7, that which can be called the principle of order. Now, sometimes we call this the ray of ceremonial magic, the ray of organization, the ray of ritualistic decency, the ray of things done decently and in order. And we talked about the word decent, meaning the opposite of indecent. You can always understand something. Indecent exposure, you know, in other words, allowing into a certain field that which is of lower vibration than the usual tenor of the field. There's just some things you don't do in certain contexts. You know, let's just say you don't wear a bathing suit to a former lecture, to a formal lecture. It could be considered, well, not only bizarre, but indecent, you know. So what, to what will you expose any field with a certain vibration? And the seventh ray builds the boundaries which hold in check and keep in an appropriate place different strata of energy. That is responsible also for the hermetic sealing of the mysteries. We can't have the first ray type, initiation type barging into an initiation of the fifth degree. You know, it would be in that respect indecent, inappropriate, not properly contained. Seventh ray is a great container in that respect. So that's a little elaboration on the ray of ritualistic decency. The ritual is the type of action which is decent and appropriate and of the highest quality under the circumstances. You know, you don't bring your salami sandwich into the temple. You know, that's indecent. We have to keep, occultly keep things in proper relation. D.K. talks about this in terms of occult silence and sorting the different strata of the mind so they don't interfere with each other. Right, so those are the seven flowerings in the monad, and he always calls it that. You know, it's let us notice here. He is calling the will energy. By the name of that. Because he doesn't want to define it too precisely, because he says, really, we know nothing about it, and if he starts giving us a lot of words for it, then we will seize upon those words in the manner in which we understand those words, and we will have then a misconception. But we can see that the Tibetan sees far more deeply into the rays and their interrelations than is possible for us. And he says things about the rays which we had never considered, which are deep and fundamental things, and we had never entertained them. So we tend to latch on to some concretization of the expression of an energy, and we stick with it, and we repeat it, even when behind our little formalization, our little concretization, lies the real definition. All right. So just as desire, he's continuing with his points. We've just finished point 8, basically. They are the goal, the seven ray aspects are the goal of the higher initiations, to flower in the monad. And now we go to number 9. Just as desire has produced this sun of necessity, our solar system, desire becomes irresistible. It becomes necessary at a certain point of intention or intensity. Let's see, manifestation becomes inevitable and hence and necessary at a certain intensity of desire. All right. So just as desire has produced this son of necessity, our solar system, there lies behind all the energies of the heart of God and all the forces which have produced the manifested universe, you know, or even solar system. He calls the universe a solar system, vice versa. Universe means solar system sometimes. That which is the result of divine need. There lies behind all the energies of the heart of God and all the forces which have produced the manifested universe that which is the result of divine need. It is neither the cosmic correspondence of brain or mind or focused intention, as you might surmise. It is that synthetic something which produces cohesion and results in fruition or synthesis as the effect of the final manifestation. Here there is some similarity to the will to fulfillment, it seems to me. The will to fulfillment. A synthetic something. And it's lying behind the manifested universe. And it's that which is the result of divine need. We have a hierarchy here, kind of, don't we? We have, okay, let's see, get this back. One, two. We have that which lies behind. We have divine need, and we have the solar system. Or more greatly, the universe. So, what is the need? Why this expression? Why is there a need to express? There is something, and when he uses words like that and something, he's pointing to an energy which he just doesn't want to define further. It produces cohesion, so it's connected with the second aspect of divinity, and results in fruition. You know, that's the second aspect in Jupiter and Venus, beauty and fullness, let's call it that. The beauty and fullness of Jupiter and Venus, or the synthesis, or synthesis as the effect or final result of manifestation. So there is a great energy here which lies behind all that is manifested, and this seems to be a higher energy than any aspect of the will. But what is that synthetic something which produces cohesion? It is already cohesion. It is synthesis. But where does it produce this cohesion and synthesis? It is I'm going to accent that. It is cohesion. It is synthesis. It is already in this cohesive, synthesized state. And of course, that is the I am that and that I am. We want to identify with that, or, you know, we want to identify as that particular that. So this lies behind the universe, and there is, let's just say there is a wholeness, there is a synthetic wholeness, wholeness producing wholeness in a fragmented world. Okay. It is well nigh impossible for me to make this any clearer because I am speaking of some of the final aspects and effects of the highest initiations. And these are initiations which are beyond the Tibetan himself. He certainly was a master. He is a master. Well, that's the question. In 1875, he became a master. He was gathering his ashram around the year 1925. Some people have said that he has become a Chohan. Has he become a Chohan? This would have to be confirmed by those who know. I do not. I only touch upon them, these final aspects and effects of the highest initiation, because they consummate and climax this study of divine psychology as it manifests through God and through man. All right. Is this the five volume series of the treatise on the seven rays? No. Treatise on the seven rays. Or is this book Esoteric Astrology itself a book of divine psychology? It is preceded by two books, Esoteric Psychology 1 and 2. The whole treatise on the seven rays, I think, is what we're looking for. These great realizations, this realization of the synthetic something which produces cohesion, this is quite climactic, we would say. Okay. Right. And results in fruition. There we have the will to fulfillment and the, I suppose, the law of inevitable fulfillment. I suspect there is such a law. He cannot describe this, he says, because it touches upon the final aspects and effects of the highest initiations. 6 and 7, probably 7. There is a great synthesis in initiation 7. A great... No, how about that? Can I get this? A great synthesis in initiation 7, ruled, I think, by the second ray. I can only touch upon them because they consummate and climax his study of divine, the study of divine psychology. In other words, what can a man become? He can become something very fulfilled as it manifests through God and through man. What's the purpose of psychology except to lead us to our fulfillment? The will to fulfillment is very strong here, and psychology is basically a 2-4-6 science. I'm simply giving faint and inadequate indications of that which emerges in the human consciousness after the third initiation, the point at which personality or form is transcended and the monad becomes the object of desired attainment. The point at which personality life is transcended. Its spiritual pressure is then increasingly felt. Maybe we are not totally conscious of the monad, but its spiritual pressure is felt. It is therefore only possible to point to distant goals. We can, however, gain some dim human interpretation of divine goals by relating these rays and their transmitting constellations to our Earth and noting how this triangular relationship can work out in our planet. Individual apprehension will be dependent upon the point of development. Only higher initiates will understand the real implications of my remarks. Isn't it marvelous that he can present something so meaningful to us and fulfill the requirements for our next step forward in understanding, and at the same time give still higher instruction to the true initiate. This is masterful teaching, teaching on multi-levels, teaching with the needs of all levels of students in mind. And, you know, that's something we don't do terribly well. You know, sometimes we present what is too low to those who are too high and what is too high to those who are too low, and we don't say the exact thing which captures the needs of all the students. Well, we are apparently at the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 144B, and this takes us to page 607. And what I'll do here is say that we will begin with Esoteric Astrology Adventure 145A, page 607. All right, friends, maybe one shouldn't begin talking at 4 in the morning, you know. I think I did here, and one feels quite alive and awake at that moment. And then the hours wear on and something happens. So maybe what I've been saying over the last 15, 20 minutes is the result of somnambulism. Perhaps you're getting the best information straight from the astral plane, where my consciousness seems to be more focused than on the physical plane. But anyway, these are... I will review this when we take up Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 145, and hopefully a little bit later today that will become possible. So, meanwhile, we'll get this sent off to you, and Brett is working on getting these to you. It's not long, but the package will be completed as far as I can take it at this time. Then should one begin again at the very beginning and try to do still better, or maybe reserve that for another life, when a more synthetic view of astrology is evident, because the Tibetan has presented his third installment, which will enhance and widen our understanding of what could be understood now with what's here, except if the understanding has great, great intuition. Well, we will rely very much upon the perspective that he will give in his third installment. So, we'll see you soon.